Today we are looking at remembering covenant. And again, this morning has just been a valuable and a wonderful experience of how I think we take for granted that covenant relationship that we have with God. All these little celebrations, they add up. And when we started listening, when Jason started listening, he's like, oh, amazing. And what do we do as God's people that deserve his good favor to draw that good lot, that it would fall on us? What do we do? How do we play into that? Do we? Do we know how? Do we even care sometimes, I wonder, about our relationship and what it looks like? So this morning I'd like to read from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. Starting at verse 31 and reading through 34. These words. The days are coming, declares the Lord. Oh, hold it. Back up. We're going to pray. Ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sustainer, Redeemer, we come before you again. We hope you accept our gift of praise this morning that we've brought forth, and we give you great praise and honor for all the good gifts that you've given us. We ask now for one more time that you would allow your Spirit to fall afresh on this sanctuary, to open our ears, our hearts, our minds, to hear your word like maybe we've heard it for the first time and have that same awe and wonderment. We thank you for the wonderful journey of faithfulness that it shows, how it encourages us to grow in understanding and learning. But open our stubborn hearts and Spirit, enter in. Allow us to hear you more clearly this morning. Amen. So Jeremiah 31, starting at verse 31 through 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people of Israel and with the people of Judah. I will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And then turning all the way into Revelation, Revelation 22. My sermon this morning is, there is a river of life. And hopefully we can draw some of those dots and make those connections this morning between covenant and how we might live that covenant out here on earth today. So Revelations 22, verses 1 through 6, under the heading of Eden Restored. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will be no need for the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. So far, the reading of God's word. So, dear family of Jesus, I've already said a number of times, today is one of those moments where we get to witness the greatness of our God and of our covenant God, of his covenant of grace upon us. We've seen the professions of faith of the young. We've heard stories of again, this church starting 39 years ago and being faithfully led, and continue to grow this day and to continue moving forward. We're also celebrating Father's Day today and how God has gifted us with a Heavenly Father for leadership and guidance as well. And then today is also Aboriginal Sunday. We thought we'd just throw that in on top of all the things we're doing today. So you can see that we as humans sometimes put so much pressure on ourselves. We pack so much into a day. But sometimes it's hard to go and know which way we are going. But I think if we look and if we put things in our understanding of our covenant relationship with God, where He's the one who calls us and pursues us, He can remove some of that pressure from us. And that feeling of being overwhelmed, I need to accomplish all these things. Because we see in the scripture from the time of the beginning, right from creation, right from Eden, where we as the human race continue to fail God constantly. And we fall down, and we get up. But it's always God there who picks us up. Yes, we try to get up, and we try to dust ourselves and make the best we can. But without God's help, we just simply cannot get up or be able to move forward. And so we have God who pursues us and constantly upholds us and renews covenants with us, which I think is pretty awesome. So, I mean, we started off with a covenant with Adam. Then we have one with Noah, right? We have Abraham, we have Moses. We get a covenant again through David. And then here in Jeremiah, we have this new understanding of the new covenant, which we're living out today and professing today under Jesus. God gets that we aren't going to be perfect all the time. And so He continues to re-covenant with us, even though some days we just, you know, I think it'd be easier for Him to walk away. But He chooses to come close to us and to covenant together. And having an understanding, God, in that way that He pursues us and He upholds His end of the covenant is important for us today. Today we're just looking at a snippet in time where we're looking in a relationship with the Aboriginal people here in Canada. Now, I know this congregation has been faithful in trying to seek answers to that relationship building. And you probably have as many questions as I do today, is how do we do that? How do we move beyond this rift of seeing us and them? But it's in God's covenants, I think, that we have the answers, that we get to see that there's this God who continually is there, and that doesn't change. What I loved hearing about the ones who were professing their faith this morning is that's exactly what they said. They couldn't put an exact date and go 1967, and some of us could do that when we know that moment when God came into our lives. But all of them said they knew that they were called and that God was a part of their life through family, through church family, through school friends, this whole web. They experience that covenant with God through us. So, how do we, the people of God, continue to live out that covenant, to continue to grow those covenant we have, knowing that Jesus is going to come back, that He did die once and for all for our sins, and now we have this great freedom to move around, to go into this world, to look at it and say, you know, God, I don't have all the answers, but You did promise me one gift. And that was the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit continues to provide us with all these opportunities to tap into the resources of creation, the body of believers, our family and friends, to be refreshed in the waters of life. When we go back to Genesis, when we look in the beginning there and we have the story of the garden and we're reading through that, we have the tree of What two trees do we have in the garden? Tree of life, tree of the knowledge of evil, good and evil, right? But I want to focus on the tree of life today a little bit. It's there. It gets mentioned there, and then we get skip over that reference for a lot of time. It gets picked up a little bit in Ezekiel, some of the other prophets, but then it shows up again here in my passage in Revelations. So I want you to think of that tree of life, and your homework assignment today is to go home and use Mr. Google if you want to. And Google what the tree of life means for not only us as Christians, but other faith groups around the world. So a symbol, the tree of life, is there at the beginning in creation, and now as we move through and we begin to see and read in Revelations, it becomes an important thing. Because it shows that God did not give up on his people. He did not give up on us. In fact, he provided us. And we see that in that passage of Revelations, that it grew on both sides of the river, the tree. It's expanding. It's ever growing. And so God is the same way with us if we remain his covenant people. The Christian Reformed Church, in trying to work out our covenant theology, 30 years ago, came together and said, we with some other church folks, we really believe that there is an issue here with how Aboriginal people have their rights represented here in Canada. And so they covenanted together. They sat together as church group, wrote a document, and you see that on the cover of your bulletins, referencing that. And for me as an Aboriginal individual, thank you. I appreciate people who are saying, yes, I want to covenant with you. I want to learn to walk with you, understand how you see this world, because I do see it a little bit different through my Cree eyes. And I had told you before, I grew up as a dark-haired little Dutch boy. So even for me, that was some growth, coming to understand that, oh, this skin I'm in. But through that growth, through that understanding of who I am as this Cree man, and now having then read and see that the church still wants to support me in that way is a really good thing. And so that pastoral statement was talking about growing the rights, well, not even growing, just protection of Aboriginal self-government in Canada. They wanted it entrenched in the Constitution Act, and that were never defined. It was never allowed to happen, even though our government tried several times through the First Minister conferences to do that. And so 30 years from now, the church is still, the leadership of the CRC, which I love, is still saying, hey, we still want to uphold that covenant because we are covenant people. And so we need to do that. We need to be there. We need to support what we say and then follow it through. We signed a covenant treaty 30 years ago. And in that we said, in this way, Canada could become a living example for the rest of the world of a society that is coming to terms with the historic demands for justice affecting the descendants of its original inhabitants. In so doing, we might be able to recover some of the deeper spiritual meaning of covenant making, the essence of which resides in God. We know that we constantly sin and we break that promise. And so we're still struggling with that. How do we do that today? How do we walk that today? I'm happy again to say that our denomination has chosen here in Canada the Urban Aboriginal Ministries. So my ministry in Edmonton, the one in Regina, the one in Winnipeg, some other ones that are starting up like in Thunder Bay and even in Vancouver, I believe, Prince George area, there's a group that's looking at continuing to walk with the Aboriginal people in a more formal way. But in all of this, we didn't say we wanted to stop trying. And for those young folks who did profession of faith today, I hope you say, you don't stop trying now just because you reached this point of profession of faith and they said, hey, come to the table, you're a full-fledged member. They already tried to recruit them as elders in the room before the service. And you know what? None of them said no. So there's good hope. Five new candidates for you. So that stability of growth, people coming and not trying to say no. When we stumble, does God leave us? No. So sometimes I think we just stumble because we like being with God. Because we stumble a lot. Right? We've seen that again in the biblical narrative right from the beginning to where we are now. Stumble, stumble, stumble. Pick up, pick up, pick up. And then we stumble again. But it's that kind of relationship that God has with us, that He pursues us and picks us up. And so it's important for us to be just like that. Did we walk away from every time? Did God walk away from us every time we broke our promise to Him? No. So what does covenant keeping with our indigenous brothers and sisters look like for now? Continue to support the ministries that you've already set up. Continue to develop a relationship with, what is it called now? There you go, you guys are learning so good. That is really important work. When I go out into the broader indigenous community and I say, hey, you know, I know this church and they're right on the fringes and they're really trying. And then I talk to Willie Littlechild and he goes, hey, you know that church over there? I go, yeah, Ebenezer. He says, yeah, Ebenezer. Yeah, I've talked with them and they've tried to do some things. You're being a really excellent witness in the broader community because you're striving, you're reaching out to the indigenous community because you understand that covenant means we have to walk towards each other. Covenant is not something that we just sign and then walk away from. Although we in our humanness and brokenness, that's what we seem to do from God. But we love covenant in our tradition. One of the way, I guess, is, you know, it's like we like to make super duper promises. And if we keep those promises, we're doing really well. But we do fail at keeping those promises. And so 30 years ago, we signed that covenant as a church, and we're still working that out. I can see from where I stand that we are still working that relationship out with indigenous people in a good way. Is it perfect? No. This past synod, we had another thing come before it about some syncretism, some language that was used. So an overture, hey, that's not of God again. It was rebuffed and things were okay. So there's always that constant tension of us in this covenant relationship together. So we need to do that. We need to struggle with it. We need to find ways to move beyond that. And that's where the water of life, thinking of Genesis, thinking of Revelations, that tree of life, it being watered. The farmers in this room, right? If I have a handful of seed, what's going to happen to that seed? Nothing, right? It's just going to stay that dead little pod that in my hand. If I go and sprinkle it onto the land, what's going to happen to that seed? But what is it going to grow with? What's going to help it to grow? Water. Water is so important to us, and I think water holds the key. When you think about water, it's also going to help us build our relationships better. Because what is dead becomes new when water is added in the seed. Without that water, that seed is just dead. Add water, and it doesn't just grow one more seed. It grows a host of plants and many more seeds. So the river of life is what it turns into. Throughout Scripture, we hear and we see again, Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. Don't just drink of this earthly water, but drink of me. because I'm a deep well that never ends. I'm fulfilling, I'm satisfying. So we need to, as humans, refresh ourselves more in those waters. And we have opportunity to do that through profession classes, through worship services, through Bible studies, through golf tournaments, through all these reasons why we gather around the Word of God. But we need to do that and continue to do that so that we have a chance of remaining covenant people to ourselves, to indigenous people. Because again, as we've been singing about this morning, it's all about the glory of God, about Jesus, his journey. So if we think of the river that was there in Eden, sustaining those plants and growing, and we again see in Revelation the river and the tree of life expanding and growing, we need, as God's people, to drink more deeply from his word, from our church life, from our family lives, so that we can remain covenant people to ourselves, to our church family, to the broader indigenous community, to all the different faith groups that we might encounter. And we can do that and become joyful covenant keepers. Because God loves a joyful giver. He loves a joyful covenant keeper as well. So keeping covenant. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. So this is growing continually. It's not just a, you know, once a year harvest. We have that same opportunity when we take advantage of church programs, Christian schools, to grow, to be nourished, to be fed, and to continue to yield fruit each and every day. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. We are the leaves of the nations. And when we drink deeply from that well of water, we have the chance to bring healing into our communities. And so that's our journey today as covenant keepers, is wanting to drink deeply, understanding that this biblical narrative has great importance to our lives on a daily basis, and that when we dig deep and drink deeply, we become the leaves that will heal the nations. This is going to be a participatory song, but I would like to end our message this way this morning. At some point, I'm going to ask you to join in with me on singing these words. There is a river of life that's flowing from his throne. A river of life that's flowing from his throne. Come on. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning, realizing that we as covenant keepers, promise makers, sometimes fail. And we ask for you to continue to pursue us, to instill in us to drink deeply from those waters that truly bring new life, new relationship. Help us to be the healing leaves to the nations as we continue to grow and understand you more and more each day. Continue to bless this community as it grows beyond 39 years. We ask these things in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.